beginning of Perek Hey. Give me 1 second to find the correct page. Kima. Okay, so we're up to page 317. This one we have just a little bit more doing these two psukim. On page 317, we are up to, make this a little bit louder. It's working? Yeah, okay. On page 317, the Mamori Chazal, on the very, very bottom, Likute Shas Ubidrashi Atanoim, Hakore, it's right in the middle, right smack in the middle in the bold letters. Hakore Leme Hayom Vayishbechem Al Pneho Aretz, Hashem Shemoi. So we learned a number of Pirushim. Now we're going to learn the Mamori Chazal, Rabbi Yosef Omer, Elohim Acherim. Elohim Acherim Lama Nemar. Why does it say in the Aseres Adibros Lo Yelcho Elohim Acherim Al Ponoi Lama Nemar Shalitein Pischen Pel Leumos Olam Loimar Elu Nikru Bishmoi, that they are that these gods are called in Hashem's name Kvar Hoyot Bohem Tzarech Vaharei Nikru Bishmo Ve'ein Bohem Tzarech. The Emosai Nikru Bishmo. Let's read a few words over here, what it says, and we'll explain in a moment. Bimei Enoish Ben Sheis. He was the one who introduced idolatry into this world. He was the founder of Avodah Zarah. Shnemar Osu Chalikro B'Shem Hashem. It was then when they began to call out B'Shem Hashem. B'Oisashah. Now let's explain over here. That, by the way, this was the end. This was the end of the Aliyah. It's very, very strange.
The difference is how you tie up the puzzle.
Right.
Do you stop there or...
Go further.
So this, this
to me is a very big mystery. Okay, well, let's first read the whole Chazal. We'll come back to this.
Right.
But Rashi says one pshat, pashup pshat, and what does the Targum say? Maybe after losing the time, maybe that's why we did like the Targum. Let's see. But Oysa Shal, let's read the entire Chazal. We'll come back to explain at that time. Olo Ogyonos, we once learned this. Vehetziv Shlisha Shalolam. Where do we learn? We learned this very recently. I don't remember where we had this. But we lived that at that point in time there was a marble. Maybe one of the first time we came across this is that at that time there was a marble in the time of Enosh. Hashem destroyed 1/3 of the world. It's not recorded anywhere in the Torah. It's purely a Maimar Chazal. We have a tradition at that time. In that time when Enosh, he worshipped Avodah Zarah, he introduced the concept of Avodah Zarah to this world. There was a major flood, like a marble. The marble destroyed 1/3 of the world. Hashem says, Atem ha'asitzem ma'aseh chodosh ukurasim atzmechem b'shmi. You have made for yourself a new ma'isa. You have made an idol. And you have called this idol a god, Elohim. Af ani eseh ma'aseh chodosh v'ekre atzmi b'shmi shenemar. Beautiful pasuk here, quoting our pasuk. Hakore l'mei hayom. Hashem calls to the mei hayom. Vayishbechem al pnei ha'aretz. Hashem shemoi. So isn't it incredible what's going on over here? This pasuk that we have just learned is a nevuah, is a record of Hashem's response to the Dor Enosh. All in the middle of Sefer Amos, how many years later did this event take place? He's recording a pasuk going back to the beginning of time. And before we go further, I just want to say something very interesting about nevuah. We always think about nevuah. What will be in the future?
Predictive.
What will be in the future? Very often, here is a classic example. Nevuah is not just about the future. Nevuah is about a revelation of the past.
Right.
The past. That's not so obvious. Because nevuah means a choyza. Navi is someone who sees, another term for nevuah is a navi, someone who sees a choyza, what is going to be in the future. But we have to understand that that's not what nevuah is. Nevuah is you're outside the framework of time, the limitation of time. Time in this world is linear. There's the past, the present, and the future. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's all the same. There is no difference between the past, the present, and the future. A navi enters into that realm. When he enters into that realm, the past, the present, the future is all one and the same. And thus, very often, the words of the Navi is a revelation regarding something in the past.
He gains perspective.
But it's not only he gains perspective, he's telling us a record in Shemayim what has happened in the past. Here we have the Dor Enosh. Dor Enosh happened probably 2,500 years before this event, before Amos was born. And yet, what he is saying is exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said at the time of the Dor Enosh. But wait a minute, isn't this Nevuah a reference to what's going to happen in the future, the Golos of the Aseres HaShvatim? Yeah?
There's an expression expression past as prologue, which means that past is predictive of
what's going to be in the future. Okay, but you don't even need to come on to that. It's all one and the same. A Navi enters into a new realm, a new world where Hoya, Hoyve, V'yiyeh is all integrated. He's telling us things about the past. 2,500 years ago, the generation decided they want to worship gods. And what happened? And what did they do? They called the sun by the name Elohim. They called the moon by the name Elohim. They called nature. Everything became a god. And all the Mefarshim tell us what happened. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu that appears that Hashem does give power to each element in the Bria, in the world, to exercise its own control. Just like we have, let's say, you have the President of the United States. So he has a cabinet, he has officers, he has secretaries. The secretaries have enormous power. If the secretary says, I want to give you money, I want to give you a stipend from the government, he doesn't have to go to the president to get a signature. The secretary has authority to dispense, to give gifts. The secretary... What?
Delegation.
The president of the United States has delegated enormous power to his secretaries. Now, the president, at a whim, can override... Can say, I changed my mind. What are you doing lately? I want to change the policy. I want to review what you've done, and I want you to reverse it. He has the ultimate authority to reverse the decision. But nevertheless, until he does so, his secretaries have real bona fide power.
They're more accessible.
They may be more liked as well. Okay, but in any event, they have the power. So therefore, the people in the world, they view the sun, the moon, the stars, all the various powers. And I'm going to go over this one second. So the Targum says what? Mit pray. Oh, you see, I want to focus on this. This is amazing. Right. We today have turned from a Targum generation to a Rashi generation.
Right.
And that's why they change. It's a Pella. Okay,
right.
I want to talk about this. I want to talk about this. It's an amazing thing. So look what's happening over here. We have over here this generation where they began to worship the Hashem's delegates, Hashem's secretaries. And it made sense to them. It made sense to them because they indeed do have power. And in the back of their mind, they realize, even though we're going to worship these objects, they have power. But Ashlom Aleichem. Baruch Reif Eichel. It's good to see you back. How are you feeling? Okay. Shkutiya Refua Shalema. So we have over here they began to worship these objects. And then what happened? It's the slippery slope syndrome. What happens? After you begin to worship the secretary, you become to forget that there is something called the President of the United States. There is only the Secretary of Defense. He has in his fingertips billions and billions of dollars. He decides where the money goes. It's amazing how much money the secretary, you know what kind of job that is? To be the Secretary of Defense of the United States, he decides, I don't think there's anyone that spends more money, has more power how to spend money in this world, in this entire world, than the Secretary of Defense, even more than the President.
Yeah, health education, they spend more.
Mm-hmm. What? Health?
The titles, a lot more than take up more.
The health, education, welfare department spends twice as much with the defense spend.
Really?
Wow. What?
Yes.
But I think saying entitlements are a greater share.
Sure.
Of
yeah? Oh, yeah. I don't know that. Okay, I don't know that.
Yeah. It's triple. Sometimes 74.
Yeah. It's triple.
It used to be. It's now almost 40%.
The government
of the budget.
Send out booklets, the tax booklets. They don't do it anymore. They show you a pie of how the money is spent.
Right.
Defense was maybe a quarter. This is, like he says,
okay, so after a while you begin to forget who the boss is. The one who's giving you the check in the mail, sending the check in the mail, they become your god. And that's exactly what happened. The slippery slope, once you start giving cover to the secretaries, you begin to think they're the god, and that got worse and worse. Elohim Acherim. Now here is what this Chazal tells us. They began to call it by the name of Elohim. How did Hashem respond? Hashem says, you want to go make up names? They're only called the secretary. They're not the president. You call them by the name president? You know what? I'm going to destroy this world, and I'm going to use my name to destroy the world. Hashem brought a flood. One-third of the world, of the civilized world, was destroyed. And here this Chazal is unique in telling us that Hashem did it by giving, by using his name. This is what happened in the time of En. Hashem called Mehayam. Vayishbechem. Hashem poured the water al pnei haaretz, on the earth. Hashem Shemo. Why is it necessary for there to be these two words to end off the pasuk Hashem Shemo in this pasuk? It's Mida Kineged Mida. You have given a name to an object that does not deserve this name. You've given the sun, the moon, the stars, the name Elohim, as it says in the Aseres Adibros, Elohim Acherim. So Hashem says, I'm also going to use my name in order to destroy you, Hashem Shemo. Let's just read. Oh, so obviously the name Yudke Vavke, okay, I don't know the answer. There's a name Elohim, there's a name Yudke Vavke, and obviously the name Yudke Vavke is a response to what they have done with the name Elohim. Now, I don't know. I have a very good, very chashuv safe. I didn't get a chance to look at it. When I went there to Yisrael, I only bought like one or two svarim, and this was one of them. Now, don't get me wrong. I buy crazy svarim. All about Hashem's names. I think they're in that sefer. I think only seven. The seven basic names of Hashem, and it's a fantastic sefer. And it goes through Chazal and Tanakh, showing you, coming to define on a very simple level, why sometimes does the name Yudke Vavke is it used? Why sometimes Elohim? Why sometimes Yudke Shakai? Why Tzivakos? They're just the basic shemais, and it's done. It's delicious. It's done so well. Usually, everything I've seen Eretz Yisrael, I find in America. I don't go to Eretz Yisrael too often. But this I didn't see. I haven't really gone out to some source too much lately. But this I've not seen yet in America. So it was a real find. And maybe one day we'll have time. We can spend some time on it. It's an excellent question. This would be a very, very good use of that sefer to understand this Chaim Chazal. They sinned with Elohim Acherim. Hashem's response was Yudke Vavke. Let's just read Chazal one more time because it's really very, very, it's a very beautiful Chazal. It brings out this idea that when it comes to Nevuah is also entering a world where there's no such thing as time, and it reveals to us secrets in the past. Look at the Chazal. Hakare lemei hayam vayishbuchem al pnei aretz Hashem Shemo. Rabbi Yosef Amer Elohim Acherim Lama Nemar. Why does it say, why did Hashem give a command that you shall not have Elohim Acherim? Shalitein pischein pel umas oilam loymar elu nikro b'shmo. In other words, do not, this is Hashem's response in the Aseres Adibros, do not even have Elohim. It doesn't just mean do not worship gods. Do not give them the name Elohim. That is also a sin to call an entity in this world by the name Elohim. Kvar hoye bohem tzarech. They have she'elu nikru b'shmo. The umos olam should not say shalolitein pischein pel umos olam loymar elu nikru b'shmo. Kvar hoye bohem tzarech very nikru b'shmo. The aim of, I don't really know what this means. The aim was say nikru b'shmo. When did they once upon a time give names to the different parts of the bria? In bimei enoish ben sheis. Shenemar asu chalukah b'shem Hashem b'yoyis hasha ola akyoynis v'heitzev shlisha shal oylam amal ramah makam atem ha'asisem ma'asa chadash yudin ma'asa chadash v'karase ma'atzcha b'shmi, and you've called these items, these objects by my name. Af ani e'asem ma'asa chadash v'ekra atzmi b'shmi, I will call myself by my own name. B'mokoyim she'enish Hishtadel hiyosish. Okay, when there's no one to sing your own praises, you have to do it yourself. Shenemar hakorei l'mehayom ba'yishbechem al pnei aretz Hashem Shmo. Here, pasuk here, 2,500 years later, telling us about an event that happened in the beginning of creation, Ma'ador Enosh, and Hashem's response.
How many generations from Noah?
Almost of seven or maybe eight, I don't know, something like that, eight or seven from Noach. He was the being. It was Adam, Shais, and Enosh. It was the third generation. Noach was the tenth generation. It was seven generations before. This was the third generation of the world. And that's when Avodah Zarah began. And here we're using this, the using over here, this idea of going back in time. Now, I love this idea. This is Mamash 3 science fiction. And I told this to you already a few times, which when Chazal did this to you, and I never really get a good answer. We know this. There's a concept in this world called Gilgulim. Don't you love the topic of Gilgulim? That a person can leave this world, and Hashem says to the neshama, you know, you didn't finish the job. I put you in this world to achieve a tafkid, and you know, you didn't make it all the way. You got to go back to this world to be mashlim your tafkid. Okay, so it's supposed to be the biggest torture. Once the neshama reached Shemayim, that's what they say in the big books. Who knows what's going on up there? That it's the ultimate torture, worse than Gehenna, to come back to this world. You think it's such a good life over here, everything's so wonderful. Once you're there, it's the biggest torture to come back into this world to be mashlim the tafkid. Who knows what this means? But my question is as follows. My dilemma is as follows, and I've asked this to many people. I've never got a good answer, and I believe in what the answer is, but they refuse to acknowledge that what I'm saying is correct, and that is. Mr. Rappaport, you ready? Fasten your seatbelt. You probably heard this from you already. And that is, when we think about Gilgulim, right? Let's say a person, Rachman al-Son, he dies in the year 2018, Lemisparam, in the Goyish world, okay, Tovshin Ayin Tes. And Hashem says, you know, you just didn't make it. You didn't make it. So you know what? I'm going to send you back. You know, take a break. Take a cup of coffee. And like, you know, in 3 years from now, an opportunity for you. Opportunity for you, so you're going to be born again to these parents in 3 years from now in this city. You were in Lakewood in the first time. This time you'll go to Muncie. You were in L.A. I'll put you in Florida. You should feel, you know, we'll send you, shift you around. You know, we're not ready yet. Three years from now. So chill out for 3 years until you're ready to go back down to this wealthy mashal yotafi. Maybe, sometimes Hashem says 10 years. Maybe 50 years. Listen, hearing all of these svarim, that this one was a Gilgul, this one, all these funny things, right? We have no clue this means. My question is it shaykh to be that Hashem says to the Nesham, you know, you didn't make it all the way. You're lacking. I need to send you back. But you know, I don't see any opportunity for you to fulfill your tafkid from Tovshin Ayin Tes until Yemos HaMashiach. I don't see any opportunity. It's a chaval because back in the 16th century would have been for you the perfect opportunity. Maybe back in the 13th century you would have had the perfect opportunity to be mashlim your tafkid. Could Hashem send a neshama back in time as a gilgul in a previous generation? In a previous generation, from our perspective here. Oh, but wait a minute. But that means it's like a science fiction movie. He may be doing something in the 13th century that can change the way we live today. He could have made an effect.
We won't know.
And the world will evolve completely different. Exactly. The world is completely evolving. And we never know because we're living in this world of science fiction. Right? Is that possible? Is it?
Yes.
To go back in a Gilgul in a previous generation.
It's not a Gilgul, but you can go back.
And Michelle Zev, what do you say about this?
No, I never heard such a thing like that.
You never go back to the future.
That sounds like that's
science fiction. So I've asked this to people. I've asked this to wise people. Their first jerk reaction was, "We've never heard this in the Chazal.
Yeah, sure.
We've never heard such a thing. We've never heard of such a thing. It's not Mistaver. It works like that." But then they come back to me and they say, you know, you got me thinking. Maybe you're right. No one knows. What? It's not Mistaver, right? It's not Mistaver. Right. There is such a principle. Time. What is Yudke Vavke? Yudke Vavke is the composite of three words. Hoya, Hoyve, V'yiyeh.
Right.
In Shemaim, the greatest dover gashmi in this world is time. There is nothing more material. There is nothing that is more distant than the Olam of the Olam HaEmes, than the principle of time. We don't understand what this means. But that's what it is. Yudke Vavke, the Ribbono Shel Olam is Hoya, Hoya V'Yia. In the Olam HaEmes, time is all integrated. They say this spooky stuff. I told you this from Rav Shalom Kamenetsky. Rav Shalom Kamenetsky says that when a person leaves this world, he writes this in the book. He said this is how it is. And we have no idea what this means. A person leaves this world, he goes to Shemayim, and he opens up his eyes in Shemayim. And who is he surrounded with in Shemayim when he opens up his eyes? The same people that surrounded him the moment that he died. Okay, a person, the Shchiv Meirah, he's quoting Svarim. You're right, he doesn't know. He absolutely doesn't know. He doesn't know. No one knows. No one ever came back to tell us what's doing there. But we are Maminim. Rabbi said, we are Maminim, B'nai Maminim. In the Bayin Shalom, Yudke Vavke is Hoya, Hoive, Viye. The Oilam HaEmes is a Makayim of there is no Zman. We have absolutely no understanding whatsoever what this means. Who's going to fool themselves to even think? But logically, the big philosophers in Yadus, when they take these concepts and they say, logically, this is the natural conclusion. That if a person is a Shchiv Meira and he's lying on his deathbed and he's surrounded by his family and they're all saying with him, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and his neshama departs and he comes to Shemayim, he opens up his eyes, and who's he surrounded with? Those same people. What are you talking about? They're alive and he's not alive. Well, eventually, those people that are sitting around his bed, they will one day reach 120 years old, whatever their time is, and they will also leave and they'll go to Shemayim. This is spooky stuff, right? Okay? But this is what it says in the book. So therefore, this principle of being a Gilgal HaNeshama, and what is the proof? Why am I telling you all this? Because what we've just learned here is a classic, classic example to prove this point. We have here a Navi. The Navi, his name is Amos. He's here giving us a Nevuah, telling us what is going to happen in a couple of years from now when the Aseres HaShvatim continue down their evil path of Avodah Zarah and corruption. They're going to go into Golos. Sancheriv is on his way. He will exile them, and he's giving them very harsh warnings. And we read all the Mefarshim, the Mitzvot, the Rashi, the Radak, and the Malbim telling the Pshat. And then we have a Chazal, we have a Gemara that came way before all of the Rishay that we learned on the page, and the Gemara said, oh, you know what this is referring to? Here, Amai standing is 2,500 years since an event, he's entering into the world, a world of where there's no Zman, and he's telling us what happened in the Dor Enosh. Enosh came along and they decided, you know, let's worship the sun and the moon. Hashem was not very happy that they called the sun and the moon Elohim. So what did Hashem do? He brought a marbel. And then what did Hashem say? Hakoyre lemei hayam vayishbechem al pnei aretz. Hashem destroyed a third of the civilized world with the marbel. And Hashem did this. Hashem Shemai, you want to call the stars, the Shemayim, you want to call it Elohim? You know what? I will use my name to refer to myself in order to show you who is the boss, Hashem Shemo. So here is a quotation or a record of what happened 2,500 years ago by a person who's primarily focusing on what's going to happen in a couple of years from now. You see that Nevuah, the world of Nevuah, is a world, there is no past, there's no present, there's no future, it's all integrated into one. And in the same words can be, he tells about records. How do we know, it's fast, how do we know what happened in the past? We have a Messiah? We really have a Messiah? Well, we do have a Messiah, but a lot of the Messiah is based upon the Nevi'im, the prophets. The prophets, they came and they told us things that were never written down. There is no record. They took us all the way back to the beginning, to the Koyach of Nevuah. How do they know that? Because that's what the Olam HaEmes is. Hoya, Hoyve, V'yia. We say every day in Davening, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. The first Kadosh is Shamayim. The second Kadosh is the earth. Kaddish al Ara, the mundane, the spirituality in the earth. And what's the third Kaddish? La'olam ul yomel maya. What does Zman have to do with Kaddish, Kaddish? Why is the third Kaddish Zman? The answer is, we think that there are many answers. We learn many different answers to this approach. But one very simple answer is, we think there's nothing more gashmi than the earth, than the table, than the paper, than our bodies. This is gashmius. Making a mistake. There's another realm of gashmius that is so gashmi, it's just like the difference between the neshama and the guf. We appreciate that. We appreciate that the distance between the neshama and the guf is greater than the greatest extremes in this world. There's the neshama, a davar ruchni, and the earth is a davar gashmi. Guess what? There's another realm that's even further, and that's zman. The principle of time is so gashmi, you can't even relate it to the earth. The earth is gashmius. You can feel it. You can touch it. Is it spiritual? No. We try to inject spirituality. But Zman is a realm of gashmius that is equal, if not greater, than the difference between what we call ruchnius and the earth. There's another realm. Go down even further. And that means that Zman, relative to the Olam HaEmes, Hashem, Kaddish, B'Shmei Meroima, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, and Zman, is you can't even fathom the distance between these, because it's already two steps of a world. Because in Shemayim, there's no such thing. Hoya,
Hoy Ve'Yeh. So how come a Neshama gets 11 months?
From our perspective, everything that we do in halacha is purely from our perspective. Le'nitna Torah le'malachei hashareis. We have an obligation to do things, to deal with issues. Still, from our, we don't know. We have no understanding of what it means. Neshama is there. No understanding. We don't even begin to understand. But we have an obligation in this world to relate to the next world. Look at the Ribbono Shel Olam. Do we have any hasag of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? But yet in the Torah, Hashem presents himself as a human being. Hashem speaks. Hashem listens. Hashem smells. Vayorach Hashem. What? So it's the same thing. Time, this that we have din, 12 months, 11 months, all it's l'saber es o'izen. Nothing more than that. What is man? We understand what it means, man. And obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created this world. He makes some channel, some connection that on a yard site, there's some type of connection. We have to look at things from our perspective. But we also have to appreciate that in Shemayim, from their perspective, it's very different.
It may not be.
No. There has to be a connection. There has to be some type of, you know, like you buy, you have a working computers part-time. You have electronics, and they don't fit. They don't connect. You have a camera, and you have a computer, and there's no way you can connect the signal from the camera into the computer. It does, all the plugs don't fit. You have to buy very expensive devices. Cost a fortune in order to convert a signal into a computer, a camera. All the high tech cameras have what's called HDMI. It's a certain very high tech signal. There is no computer in the world that has an HDMI input. So how do you go from a camera HDMI into a computer? You have to buy a device that ranges from $100 to $5,000, all different types of devices. So obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created some device where we on this earth can somehow connect to what's going on over there, even though we know there's really no connection whatsoever. It's not that it's different. No, it is different, but Hashem also allows there to be some type of connection. Okay, so this is one idea. Now,
this goes into the Yud Aleph Yud Gimel from the Rambam, the chapter that believe the
Emunah. It all comes down to Emunah. When the day is over, it's all about Emunah. Now, this passage, he touched upon something over here, which to me is very disturbing.
I'm sorry, I just want to interject.
Yeah.
The Shulchan Aruch says, I never saw it inside. I heard quoted. Whatever it says, Yad Einai, there's a Dovah Rachni. We don't know what that is. We call it because it resembles.
Resembles, of course.
But Yad is Yad. We don't know what Yad is.
We don't really connect. How can we connect
to Hashem? That's what the Shua says. So
Hashem is beyond us, but Hashem has given us permission to connect to Him based upon our level. Hashem did not create us to torture us. That's a basic principle of Yadus. You're not here in this world to suffer. Okay, anytime someone says that's a Christian, that is a very the influence of the Goyim. Hashem put you in this world to be meitiv. It should be good. Hashem only wants your benefit. You're not here to suffer. Hashem did not put you in this world to make it difficult. You cannot connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem is mitzamtzein himself, kavi yachol. Those are the terms that Chazal use. Hashem, he hides himself, he limits himself to a certain in a way that we can connect to him, although HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite or beyond infinite. Now, there's another important point he mentioned over here. Also, he quotes of us, how do we know that they worshipped idols in the time of Chazal? In this whole pasuk is all based upon us who call b'shem Hashem. It's the Dor Enosh worship idols. It's all based upon this pasuk. The pasuk says in Perek Bereishis, in Perek Dal, pasuk Chavav, l'sheis gam hu yuladein, vayikra esh shemoy enosh, os hu chal likroy b'shem Hashem. Then he began to call b'shem yudkei vavkei. Now, what does this pasuk mean? L'fi pshuta shel mikra. So there's two perushim. There is the Targum and there is Rashi. It used to be, time immemorial, the Iker Perish of Chumash was the Targum. It's a fact. I'm going to prove it to you now. And for some strange reason, we became, the last 50 years, maybe a little bit more, we have abandoned Ungulus. Mom, I should have abandoned Ungulus, and I'll prove it to you. And we've taken hold of Rashi. Rashi has become our primary translator for Chumash. What does the Targum say? Os hu chal likra b'shem Hashem in Pasuk Chavav. Rabbi Mayavsky brought this to my attention. L'sheis afchu isyilid bar ukro yosh shemei enosh. B'chein, therefore, b'yomohi, in those days, cholu b'nei enosha mitz militzaloha b'shmo de Hashem. The people of his generation began to pray in the name of Hashem. From the translation of the words, it means he invented the koyach of tefillah. Who was the first one to daven? Adam? Do you find Adam davening to Hashem? Do we find Adam Harishon praying, davening shachris, mincha ma'ariv? No, we do not. We find Cain, he did teshuvah. Teshuvah does not necessarily mean he davened. He recognized he did an avera. Adam said, wow, he did teshuvah. I also want to do teshuvah.
Miz Mashiach. Forgive me. And Chazal says that Adam prayed for rain in order to appreciate.
Maybe you're right. Maybe I made a mistake. Maybe you're right. The Adam, ayin la'avoides ho'adam. The Eidyal, he davened for rain. Okay, but I don't. But he davened for needs. Just to daven for the sake of davening. Okay, Adam daven that there should be rain. That's correct. Ein des makir b'toivosan shel geshamim. We have to define exactly what did Enosh contribute versus Adam Harishon. There must be a difference in what they contributed in the koyach of tefillah. Enosh was a founder of davening just for the sake of davening. That itself is a goal. Even if you don't get what you want, you daven because you have to daven to Hashem. This is Enosh. That's what it says in the Targum. So is this a nice pasuk, or is this a pleasant pasuk, or is this a disturbing pasuk? Is this a dark pasuk, or is this a positive pasuk? It's a positive pasuk. Os hu chal likra b'shem Hashem. Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi, as he does very often, disagrees with Unkelus. Rashi, in this pasuk Chavav, says, "Os hu chal loshen chulin." It doesn't mean he began. Targum clearly says that cholu b'chein b'yoymohi, cholu b'nei enosh. It means they began. They began. He learns Lashon Chulin, Likroi, they began, Likroi, Yeshemos Ha'adam, Yeshemos Ha'atzavim, B'shmo Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu. They began to call human beings and the various elements of creation by the name of God, La'soysan, to make them elilim, v'likraysan elohus, to make them into gods. So he was the one who invented, he is the founder of idolatry. Multi-billion dollar business. Okay, he was a good businessman. Enosh. Now, is this a dark pasuk or a pleasant pasuk, according to Rashi? And Rashi, by the way, does not give us any other perish. And over here in the article, it tells all the sources. All the sources where you can, the Bereishis Rabban, from Chumon, Targum Yoinasan, Amitz Koyach, Le Sefer Yom HaKippur. Rashi, over here in the article, they really go to town, and they really hammer away where it says that this pasuk, the pshat in this pasuk, is a dark pshat, Avodah Zarah. And we just learned today the Likutei Shas, we learned over the Mechilta. See, they didn't quote this source. See, isn't that amazing? Rashi, they quote over here all these various sources, but over here they have a Mechilta, also a Mechilta as well, that says, Azhuch HaLikar B'Shem HaShem was the invention of idolatry. Problem is, what about the Targum? Targum says that's not what it means. It means that they dive into Hashem. So what is the answer? Elu v'elu divri Elokim Chayim. Has to be, Enosh was the founder of Tefillah, of the Koyecha Tefillah. And Enosh was also, he went off the derech, exactly. He also founded Avodah Zarah. He went the wrong way. That's usually the way it goes, right? People that go to an extreme, they are very creative, but unfortunately, they sometimes when it doesn't go their way, right, they go the other way. Now, it used to be in the olden days, back in the day, there's no doubt in my mind that when all of you were children, when the Aliyah ended with this pasuk, Vayikra Shmo Enosh, every single Chumash Beli Yotzei Min HaKlal had the end of the Aliyah of Shishi was Oz Huchal Likroi B'Shem Hashem. And now you open up every Chumash Beli Yotzei Min HaKlal, and Art School to a certain degree is responsible for this. It has to be because they're before that, but not Mamish, right? And that's it. They stopped ending the Aliyah here, they end the Aliyah up a couple of psukim. Va'achoyz tu v'alkayin na'amo. They make then the Aliyah becomes a very short Aliyah. They make Hamishi into a very, very short Aliyah, just a few psukim. Va'achoyz tu. Oh wow, how could it be? It's such a short Aliyah. Why do they do that? Why have the new chumashim have done that through the psak? Because they do not want. There's a rule that you're not allowed to end an aliyah on a bad note, on a dark note. You do not want to end that. Now man began to worship idols. So wait a minute. If this new minhag started 50 years ago, and then started more than 50 years ago, so what were they doing the last 1,000 years? No one really knows for sure. But at least for the last few hundred years, we do know for sure that we read Azu Chalukah B'Shem Hashem. So what happened all of a sudden? We became, this is an example of a shift, a very disturbing shift. In Klal Yisrael, we've abandoned one authority and taken hold of another authority. It's clear as day that for hundreds of years, the Targum was our primary translator. The Elu V'Elu Divrei Elokim Chayim. Oz Huchal Likroi B'Shem Hashem. They began to dive into Hashem. And for some bizarre reason, which I don't really understand, maybe, I don't know if it's out of ignorance, I can't say that. Hanachna L'Yisrael, the G'dol L'Yisrael, that I'm sure behind this decision to shift, is today, the Iker translator has shifted, has become Rashi. And since Rashi only quotes one Maimer Chazal, that this pasuk means avodah zarah, as we learned today in this maimer, Oz huchal likroi b'shem Hashem, and began to worship, huchal lashon chulin. So therefore, it's a problem to conclude the aliyah. So all of the chumashim were forced to change the end of the aliyah from here to there. The other classic example, beyond a shadow of a doubt, is the first word of the Torah, Bereishis. How do you translate the word Bereishis? For hundreds of years, in every language, In the beginning, Hashem created, the first thing that Hashem did was, He created the Shamayim and the Oreth. The Torah begins with nothing. Yesh Me'ayin. That's, who says that, who's the one who translates the pasuk that way? The Targum. Bereishis, Bekadmin. In the beginning, the first thing on the agenda, Bero Hashem Yos Shemaya V'Yos Ara. That's every Chumash. in every language. Go to a library and take out all translations. All you're going to see. All of a sudden, Arshul came along in their introduction and says, we're not following the Targum. Our translation is going to follow the Perish of Rashi. And Rashi makes no mention of in the beginning Hashem created. Rashi says Bereshis, based upon analysis of the word Bereshis, it means basically towards the beginning. That's really what it means, towards. The Torah does not begin in the beginning. The world began long before. Long ago, there was a Shamayim and there was an Aretz. It existed. And during that Tekufa, when there was a Shamayim and the Aretz, Hashem said the Aretz was Sohu Vavohu. But the Torah does not begin with the creation of Shamayim and Aretz. It already was there before the Torah starts. This is what it says in Rashi. There's no denying that's how Rashi learns. The Torah does not begin, and therefore the article in the stone in all of their translations, they have some very nice words to make that point that the word Bereshis does not mean in the beginning. Because we're living in a generation where we have shifted from the Targum being our primary translator to Rashi being our primary translator. Another example of a shift is the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Until recent times, until 30, 40 years ago, there was only one Psak Halacha on how you live your life. It was the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. And the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says things that it says nowhere else. It says nowhere else.
Wasn't Mishnah Berurah?
No! Mishnah Berurah is no, definitely not. Yeah, definitely not. Today, the Mishnah Berurah has taken over. People don't even know what the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch is. Some people. It's really shocking. They don't even know what the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch is. It's the Mishnah Berurah has dominated, and his Piskei Halacha are very different. They're very different than when it says in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, and sometimes people struggle. Why in the Siddur does it say first, does it say Elokai Neshama after Birchas HaTorah and not after Asher Yotzar? Because that's what it says in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. It's the Mishnah Berurah that says, no, you should say Elokai Neshama after you say Asher Yotzar. So why in the Siddur is it not printed in that order? Because that's what it says in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. And until the Mishnah Berurah became popular, that's what everyone did. They followed the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Now it's a new generation. It's very, very fascinating how you see that somehow, even though we pride ourselves on being traditionalists, we hold on Chodosh Osir Min HaTorah, we hold on to our legacy, we don't change. You see major shifts in who we accept to be the final decider of Halacha, Kitzur Shulchan Aruch versus Mishnah Berurah, and even in Chumash, the whole Klal Yisrael is laning today will not conclude Oz Huchal B'Shem Hashem. They will not do that.
Yeah, Rabbi Benel says it's L'Shevach. I wanted to look to see
what he's saying. Yeah, Oz Huchal B'Shem Hashem.
And he said Enosh himself did not obey, but in his day, people began to do it, not him.
Not him, aha. He was on the right page. It was the people who were... Interesting.
Enosh?
Enosh David. Enosh David. But
the
other people...
That's what the Baruch Hu said.
All right. Now we are pretty much finished. Okay, now the only thing we need to do, we're not going to do because we're out of time, we have a very nice Mincha Gedolah I want to do with you. So with that, we're going to have to wait for tomorrow. Okay, so we'll stop here.